Y'all didn't know you were going to get a vocal competition, did you? A healthy competition, we're going to put it that way, right? But what a wonderful reminder that song is. Hallelujah and praise ye the Lord. And certainly you have heard throughout the music portion of the service that there has certainly been a theme of praising the Lord. You know, I believe that part of praising the Lord is presenting our lives to the Lord. Presenting our lives wholly to the Lord. It is an act of praise. It's an act of worship as we live out our faith in our daily lives. So I invite you to turn with me to a passage that's going to talk about this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll be looking at verses 13 through 16 of this passage. 1 Peter, once again, chapter 1. And we begin in verse 13 and we'll go through verse 16. In verse 13 of 1 Peter, let me get to 1 Peter, not 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 16. It goes on to say this: "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Join me in prayer at this time. Father, we come before you this morning and we have heard a constant theme throughout this service, which is that you are worthy to be praised. We bring glory to you. And I know, O Father, that you gave us the example of what it was to live a holy life, for you are the essence of holiness. Now, O Lord, as we explore this passage a little bit further, we ask, O Lord, your help from the power of the Holy Spirit to teach us and to instruct us on the ways in which we can be holy. This we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen. They say that forming habits is a very important thing. In fact, depending upon who you talk to, many would say 30 or more days is what is required of consistently doing something to form a habit. And this morning, I simply want to go into Scripture in the passage and look at habits that we can live by that will contribute to living the holy life that God has called us to live. One of the first things that stuck out to me or struck a chord with me this week as I was preparing for the sermon throughout this week is the importance of seeking God. This is something that we know. This is something that is intuitive, inherently intuitive, if you will. But it's a reminder that it begins with seeking the Lord, doesn't it? He is holy. So if we want to ever live holy lives, then we're going to have to seek Him in our lives. And so I believe that the key to this pursuit of holiness, once again, is to seek the Lord. Matthew 6, verse 33 says it well, doesn't it? "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." I love what Psalm 119, verse 10 through 11 goes on to describe. The psalmist goes on to say, "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." The key is pursuing Him. The key is seeking Him. The key is being empowered and strengthened by Him. And one of the tools, one of the resources that He has given us is His Word. I was reminded as I was reading one of my devotions this past week that heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will not pass away. We know that the Word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is power, it is strength. It is what God has used to give us instruction and guidance and direction. If we ever want to live holy lives, we're going to have to seek Him. A part of seeking Him is seeking what the Word of God has to say. And I believe that each and every one of us need to have time in which daily we spend time in His Word. But not only do we spend time in His Word, but we commit it to memory, or many passages should be committed to memory. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. I don't know about you, but I know that many of the verses that the Lord brings back to me in my times of need come from years ago, in which maybe as a child, maybe as a young person, I heard a passage that stuck with me. And so in that time of need, whatever it may be, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, so that I might not what? Sin against You. See, part of the key of holiness is to seek the Word of God and then to, of course, live it out. See, holiness is taking place in our life as we seek the Lord. So holiness in our seeking. Holiness then, of course, in our living. In our passage, we see the importance of this habit of holiness, if you will, in our living. So let me ask you something. How do we live out our lives? Do we live for ourselves, which is the temptation that comes our way? Or do we live for the Lord? And do we submit? There's an emphasis in this passage, this text that we have just looked at. Emphasis on submission, submitting ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And this starts with obedience. There's an old song we used to sing. We just sang a song that many of us remember, but it's an old song that many of us might have memorized and sung as a child. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Anybody remember that? Apparently not. I remembered it. Hopefully, now you'll remember it. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. So, hey, you've learned something new, maybe. All right. So we are called to obedience. We are called to submission unto the Lord. Romans 12, verse 1 through 2 reminds us of a familiar passage when it goes on to say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we have a choice in our life as believers in Christ. Are we going to be conformed to the things of this world, or are we going to be transformed to the things of the Lord? Let me say that again. Are we, as followers of Jesus Christ, going to be conformed to the things of this world, or are we going to be transformed to the things that are important to the Lord? Starts with submission, seeking Him, submitting ourselves, obediently following Him, and then to live a sacrificial life. We just touched on it just a moment ago, this desire to live for the Lord, to live a sacrifice life for the Lord. And it goes back to the identity with Christ. One of the things that we have even referenced just recently, of course, a focal point just recently, was the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is something that we celebrate on a day, but as followers of Jesus Christ, we celebrate each and every day, right? But of course, the resurrection doesn't happen, as we have referenced recently. The resurrection does not happen unless there is a, what? Crucifixion, right? And so it is Jesus who was crucified on that cross, who died on that cross for you and for my sins. As even these songs reflected, our sins were bore upon Him who knew no sin, so that we might have the righteousness of Christ. And so He goes to the cross to pay for our sin. He was buried on the third day according to Scripture. He rose from the grave gloriously and victoriously. And so it is that as He rose physically from the grave, so it is that the believer in Christ, as we identify with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and as we submit ourselves to Him, as we live this sacrificial life for Him, as we seek to identify with Him, to be Christ-like, then we are going to die to sin as Christ died on the cross for us, and we die to sin. We're not conformed to this world, but we are transformed. And so just as Christ rose from the grave, what do we say during baptism? We are raised to walk in newness of life. And just recently, we just, of course, emphasized the resurrected life. We desire to live the resurrected life as believers in Christ, to live this new life, to live this new nature. All of these things take place as we crucify this old sinful nature. Galatians 2:20, one of the best passages that show what our identity is with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and you, and gave Himself for you and me, right? And so it is that we die to this old sinful nature. Now this is a challenge to be transformed. It is a battle, and that battle is certainly real. It's a difficulty to live for the Lord, if you will, in this old sinful nature. But once again, we can have victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is the same power that raised Christ from the grave, the Spirit of God, which is the same power that works in and through the life of the believer so that we can walk in newness of life. And so as we desire to live and have habits of holiness, it starts with our seeking the Lord. It affects our living for the Lord, and an aspect of living for the Lord, which I would say that it also impacts and affects, is our serving of the Lord. Reminded as followers of Jesus Christ that the emphasis of Jesus here on this earthly ministry was serving. He gave us the example so often of serving the multitudes, of having compassion upon them. And one of the final acts that He did with the disciples, as you might recall, is He demonstrates a great act of service as He washes the feet of His disciples. He gives us the example. He models what this looks like to serve Him and to serve others. Reminded of the interesting conversation that He had with His disciples. And as you might recall, the disciples are jockeying for position. They want to see who is going to be the best, who is going to be the greatest. And then He turns it around on them. You see, they wanted to be elevated into positions of power and authority and to be looked at great. And He goes on to tell them this, that he who is greatest among you will be your servant, according to Matthew chapter 23, verse 11. And so we're reminded that we have an opportunity and a privilege and a blessing to serve God and others. As Psalm 100 verse 2 goes on to say, serve the Lord with gladness. You know, some of the happiest and most joyful people that I have ever met are people that are humble and are committed to serving God and serving others. Isn't that something? There's something to that. I believe that the Lord gives us joy when we have the opportunity to serve Him and to serve others. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So there's something to that. Oh, our holiness begins by seeking the Lord. Our holiness will then go to living for the Lord. It's going to be exemplified by us serving the Lord. And it also is exemplified in how we give to the Lord. We can see that we are called to be holy in our giving. Now, the human tendency is to hold on to whatever we have. The human tendency, if you will, is to hoard the things that we have been given. But it's counter to what we see in Scripture. See, I believe that a holy person, a person that's living a holy life, a person that is living a godly life and is godly, is also going to be generous. And I believe this can cover both the living and the giving that they do in life. That out of their love for the Lord, as They have an abundant relationship with the Lord as they seek Him and as they spend time with Him and as they find the generosity of Almighty God, that all good gifts come from above, from the Father of lights, as Scripture says, as we followers of Christ are seeking Him, that the generosity of the Lord will fill us. And I believe that will overflow us. And so that we as a people of God are going to be a generous type of people in our giving and our living. Listen to a passage that goes a little bit further into explaining what this looks like. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 8. The Apostle Paul is demonstrating to the church of Corinth what this looks like to be a generous type of people in their giving, yes, but also in their living. Watch what it says about this biblical truth. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, it goes on to say, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance of every good work." Is the overflow of the follower of Jesus Christ that is going to demonstrate this generosity, that is going to demonstrate this cheerfulness, that's going to demonstrate this sufficiency, that is going to demonstrate the abundance of every good work, because it's the outflow and the overflow of who they are and their relationship with Christ. As we are told from the Word of God, we are to be holy, for He is holy. Maybe here today as a follower of Jesus Christ, and it is a struggle, and the struggle certainly is real. In fact, I thought much about that this past week, of the struggle that takes place even on a daily basis to live that holy life that we are talking about this morning. I want to just suggest to you something that, based on the Word of God and what we have just referenced, is the struggle for holiness more difficult because you're not spending time in the presence of the One who is holy? Mind of Isaiah, as he had that moment in, I believe, Isaiah chapter 6, in which he receives a vision of the throne room of God. And what he is struck with is the holiness of God. What he is struck with is the fact that he is a man of unclean lips. He is a sinful man. And his desire was to be consecrated and sanctified when he saw a vision of the throne of heaven. Maybe you and I need to spend more time in the presence of Almighty God. So we're in this time, when we spend time rather in the presence of Almighty God, then as we see His holiness, we will see our sinfulness. And the Spirit of God will work in our life to convict us of that sin and to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. Maybe you and I need to spend more time in His presence, seeking after the Lord. It's going to affect who we are. It's going to affect every aspect of our life. It's going to affect how we live. It's going to affect how we give. It's going to affect who we are. Be holy, for I am holy. Maybe you and I need to identify more with Christ. Maybe we need to remember what Christ has done for us on a daily basis. And as we remember what He has done for us, and we know that true identity for the life of the believer comes in our relationship with Christ, we spiritually are reminded that on a daily basis, you and I need to crucify this old sinful nature. We need to present our lives as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Follower of Christ, how is the Lord urging you and convicting you on how we ought to respond to Him, as our desire should be to be holy as He is holy? Time of invitation. You can do it right where you're at. If you need to do business with God and you cry out to the Lord, you're seeking after Him. You're asking Him, oh Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit to work in my life. Help me to be more like You. Help me to run away from sin and run to You, follower of Jesus Christ. That could be the prayer That should be the desire of our heart. Maybe the Lord is calling you to lay it down on the altar, if you will, and to present your lives as a living sacrifice, and you feel led symbolically to come to the altar and to lay it out before Him, or to ask somebody to pray with you and join alongside you in your prayer and your desire. Follower of Christ, how are you going to respond to Him? I simply say, respond as He is leading. Be holy, for He is holy. But maybe there is one here that has never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I've got bad news, and then I've got good news for you, and that is this. The bad news is that you cannot be holy because you are dead in your trespasses, spiritually speaking. You don't have anything within your life that can cause you to be holy because of this old sinful nature. But the good news for you today is this. For the wages of sin is indeed death, as we just talked about. The wages of sin is death. There's none righteous, no, not one. For the wages of sin is death, physical, but also spiritual. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're here today, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You right now, spiritually speaking, are dead in your sins. But He will make you alive in Christ as you place your faith in Jesus Christ, believing sins, was buried, but rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And you receive that by faith, confessing Him as Lord, the Bible says, you will be saved. And so that's the first step that you need to take as one who has never placed their faith in Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, won't you do that today? Now is the acceptable day. Now is the acceptable time of salvation. As the worship team makes their way forward, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Fathers, we prepare for our time of invitation. Lord, it's our opportunity to respond to the message that we have heard from Your Word. Lord, there's nothing special about me talking, but there is something special about the Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. And in Your Word gives us guidance and direction for how we are to live our life. In Your Word, we find life. In Your Word, we find salvation. So take us to Your Word and help us to receive it to our hearts. Help us to memorize Your Word. Help us to meditate upon Your Word so we can be transformed into who You want us to be. And then, O Lord, as we respond to You, we pray, O Father, and once again, we present our lives a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, unto You, which is our reasonable service. For the follower of Jesus Christ, I pray that that is our prayer. I pray that it is our response. And then, and Lord, if there's one here that's never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, show them by the power of the Holy Spirit that they are blinded by the enemy. Open their eyes so that they may see that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. Save their soul by Your marvelous and matchless grace. This we do pray. May Your blessing be upon the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.